everyone, and welcome to Take-Two Radio. I'm Pam, your host, and joining me today as my co-host is the ever-so-talkative, can't-wait-her-turn, Sabina. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to let Sabina take over the whole show, and she can just do the whole interview by herself.
Oh, man, you smarty pants.
And I know you're freaking out right now because you already said you would. Yeah. Sometimes it's funny how jokes can come to fruition because when I had called into the show to start the show, just before that I told Sabina, I go, I'm going to not call in. I'm going to let you do the show by yourself. And then I called in to start the show, and all of a sudden it says to me, the recording says, due to technical difficulties with our phone system, blah, 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 try your call again later. And I thought, oh, no. That's what I get for teasing her. So thankfully, everything worked out, and we are here. And so is our wonderfully quiet guest. And let's go ahead and announce him. Sabina, you can have the pleasure.
Oh, well, without further ado, it is Tony Moore from Lounging with Tony. Hello, Tony.
Yay. Hello. How are you guys?
Good.
I was being quiet because I was just listening. I was instructed to be quiet. The show was about to start, so I was quiet until it was my turn.
I love obedient guests.
He's a good boy.
I didn't want to be the cause of anything, so I was like, okay, she said to be quiet. So I'm going to be quiet and just wait my turn and just listen for my name. So I was just simply listening.
You know, it's been a really goofy day. I'm in Chicago, and right in the middle of General Hospital, all of a sudden we get breaking news, and I thought, oh, boy, what's going on now? And they break in to tell us that we just had a 3.7 earthquake, maybe about maybe 10-minute drive from my house was supposedly the epicenter of this earthquake.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then a little while later, all of a sudden they come back on again, break into GH, like towards the end, and they're saying, well, now we found out it wasn't actually an earthquake. It was a blast that they did over at the quarries, and it registered as a 3.7 on the Richter scale in Colorado.
Oh,
and
my
God. Then on the 5 o'clock news, they're like, well, they think it was a blast, but then it caused an earthquake.
Okay.
So at some point, the news is going to get it right.
I hope so.
They seem to be doing some very intensive investigating and updating you guys on their research.
It's just too funny because we don't know what we should feel. But the funny part about it is I didn't even feel any of it. My daughter, who happens to be not too far from the supposed epicenter, was sleeping and said that she actually got shook almost out of the bed and that everything, including the windows and stuff, were rattling and, like, pictures were moving and that. So whatever happened, just, you know, disjointed every Chicagoan today. So if we start talking loopy, you'll know why.
Aha, that explains it.
Yeah, we're not used to it like these people in California.
Mm-hmm. Well, earthquakes don't actually come that often, at least since I've been here. I need to knock on wood because that's actually my worst fear is to have an earthquake around here. But I've lived here for 5 years now, and we actually don't get them too often. So that's good because I think I'd be a nervous wreck if suddenly my little room started shaking and stuff started moving around.
Mm-hmm. When did you move there?
I moved to L.A. 5 years ago in 2008, August of 2008, to pursue acting and hosting. And so far, so good. Slow and steady wins the race, as I always say. So clearly I'm going very slowly but very steadily.
Tell Pam where you originated from. You're from the East Coast. Like me.
Yeah, I'm from Columbia, South Carolina. And I always say that I'm from Columbia because that's the longest place I've lived. My dad was in the military, so we traveled around quite often. And when he retired in South Carolina. And I remember when he decided to retire, I thought, could we not just move one more time so that way we could end up in, I don't know, L.A.? That was not going to happen. But he retired in Columbia, and I lived there for, oh, gosh, which seemed like forever. Because when you're a military kid, you're so used to moving every couple of years. So mm-hmm. being, I don't want to say stuck in South, I should, living in South Carolina for an extended period of time, that sounds so much better than saying stuck. It was very different, but it was very nice all the same. So.
Well, I think that probably military families would either feel the way that you do, where they enjoyed the moving around every couple of years, or they hate it. I kind of find it hard to think that maybe there's a middle to that.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was like, you know, moving to a new place, you know, each time and kind of discovering a new place was fun for me. I think one of the best places we lived in Germany, Frankfurt, Germany, for 4 years. And
wow.
I was young, so I feel like I couldn't appreciate the fact that I was living in Europe. My biggest thing was, oh, my God, we're moving to Germany. I'm going to have to eat German food. What am I going to do? And I remember the first thing I did when we got to our housing, which was on a military base, I looked in the cabinets to see what food we had. And I saw Chef Boyardee, and I was like, oh, thank God. Like, I'm going to be okay. I can do this. I can do this.
How old were you?
How old was I? I think I was like 8 or so. However old you are when you're in the second grade. That's like 8, isn't it? Or 7?
Yeah, around 7, 8, somewhere in through there,
yeah.
Depending when your birthday
one of
is.
Those. Yeah, so because I remember we moved there when I was in the second grade, and I was there from second grade to fifth grade. And thanks to that can of Chef Boyardee that I discovered in our cabinet, I was able to survive those 4 years because
oh
the whole trip
God.
There, I had no. I was just thinking, like, what do they eat? Do they eat sausages all the time? Am I going to have to eat sausages or bratwurst or whatever they? And that was my whole concern was what was I going to eat? Not thinking like, wow, you're going to be living in Germany and getting to experience, you know, German culture and things like that. My main concern was what was going to be on my dinner plate.
Well, and the thing is, with you saying Chef Boyardee, it's making it sound like that's all your mother fed you.
No. No, she cooked and things like that. I think it was just seeing something Americanized in Germany that made me feel like, okay, there's a store around here somewhere that sells food that I'm used to, so we're
right.
good. We can continue living here.
Now, was there any place that you moved to that you really didn't want to leave?
Not really. All the places that we lived in, I enjoyed for, you know, whichever reason. And, I mean, like I said, we lived in Germany. I was actually born in Hawaii. And we lived in Hawaii for a year after I was born. I don't remember that, but one day I will go back to visit Hawaii. But we lived in Hawaii. We lived in Texas. We lived in Germany, Alabama, and then we finally settled in South Carolina. So all the places I enjoyed for, you know, whichever reason. There wasn't a place that I was just like, oh, dear God, please get me out of here. Or, you know, and I was kind of, you know, once my dad retired, we weren't traveling anymore. So I was just kind of like, where am I going to live now or move to now? So I always consider going to college. I went to college an hour outside of Columbia, which was in Rock Hill, South Carolina. I consider that my move. So I kind of moved up a little, which it's not a big move, but I still consider it my little soft move before I then eventually moved to L.A. So.
Now, was it, I would imagine with you moving so much, even though it was with your family, moving to California on your own was pretty easy?
It was, actually. I came out for a visit in June of 2008 just to see if I could live here. And once I got off the plane and I started, you know, driving towards a friend of mine's house that I was staying at, I was like, I could totally do this. You know, it kind of, except for the traffic.
Mm-hmm.
I will not ever understand the concept of traffic. If someone can ever understand why there are a massive group of people going in the same direction that you are at the same time, I would be very happy for someone to explain that to me. But for the most part, I was like, you know, I could do this. It's easy to get around. The weather's good. And the whole because some people, you know, when they move away from home, it's that concept of family's here, I'm here, and how am I going to, you know, live on my own? But I think coming from a military-type family, it was just easy for me to adjust to moving to L.A. and taking the risk of, you know, moving here by myself. But I had a little bit of preparation before I moved here officially, so.
Now, when you moved there, did you have a job right away?
I didn't. I had enough money from family for a month. And I had done some research that week that I came out in June to see, like, what jobs were kind of available, what the job market was kind of like. And I landed a job at a casting company that I work for now. And that I've been at for 5 years. So luckily, shortly after I moved, I started working there. So it was kind of like, thank God. Once I got here, I like hit the ground running. And I was like, I have to find a job because I don't want to be one of the people that moved back home within the next few months. So I was like, I have to find a job. I have to figure this out. And I did. So, and I've been at that company for 5 years now, and I enjoy casting and helping out with that, as well as pursuing my acting and hosting career.
Well, with working for a casting company and you're an actor and a host, does that work in your favor?
Sometimes you kind of get to see know of certain shows and stuff that are filming their pilots, which, you know, as many people know, pilots are, you know, kind of like test shows for networks to see if it's going to get picked up or not. So it's kind of, you know, interesting to kind of see, you know, that happening and then being excited like, oh, you know, that show is being picked up and we, you know, kind of helped out with some casting with that. So, yeah, I mean, that's the most enjoyable part, I think, with that and how it kind of helps out with the acting and stuff is kind of knowing what's out there maybe before, you know, the general public does.
Now, are you allowed to go on those casting calls from your own company when you find out about them?
Well, my company does background work. So I am allowed on, like, on my days off, I can do some stuff. But as long as it doesn't interfere with work, then I can do it. But I can't take a day off to go and do background work for their show. Yeah.
I think you'll be busted easily.
Yeah, I think that's when it becomes a little conflict of interest, though.
So. Right.
Yeah.
Now, when did you get into hosting your own show, Lounging with Tony?
Lounging with Tony came about 3 years ago. I wanted to develop a show that was very much like a talk show, but was a very cool, casual kind of show. I wanted people to feel like you were sitting watching two friends just chatting among each other. And the idea came about, I had started hosting charity events with the cast of Days of Our Lives, and I wanted to kind of continue capitalizing on my hosting skills. And I created Lounging with Tony for that, and also because I wanted friends back home to realize that these stars and celebrities that we see on a day-to-day basis, they're really just like us. They're normal
right.
people like us. They have struggles just like we do. They're different struggles, and they just have cool, better, high-paying jobs. But nonetheless, you know, they're still, you know, normal people. So I wanted to create a show that just allows people to kind of get to know these celebrities and different types of people in a very casual type of way without trying to be like a Oprah or Wendy Williams or Ellen or, you know, someone, you know, like that. I just, you know, wanted, I wasn't, or like a Barbara Walters who's trying to like pry in and get dirty secrets out of you. Just someone that you can kind of at the end of the interview say, I can relate to that person, or I feel a little more connected to that person, or I know a little bit more about that person. Yeah.
I get that because that's how we do our show.
Mm-hmm.
As you can tell, we just chat. We don't really, you know, interrogate. So let's put it that way. We don't do that. Although we will kid around with some people and say, you know, we're getting ready to grill you. So here goes. But no, we don't really do that. Now, I watched the promo that you have for your show, and I absolutely loved it. It's really funny. It's well done. And you've interviewed so many awesome people. I absolutely love and adore Wayne Brady. What was it like talking with him?
You know, it was, first of all, I was so appreciative at the fact that I was able to interview him. I'm appreciative of anyone that I'm able to interview because these, you know, they're very busy, and when they're able to sit down with me and just kind of chit chat, it's awesome. I remember, you know, shooting the interview with Wayne, and we interviewed, we did the interview at his loft, and there was a moment where I was just like, wow, this is Wayne Brady, you know, and I'm getting a chance to interview Wayne Brady, and I, you know, I said, thank you so much for being on the show. He was like, no, thank you for having me on your show. And I was kind of taken back because I was like, it was kind of like a, no, thank you, no, thank you, no, thank you type of a thing. But he's a really, really nice guy. He's very down to earth. He's very hardworking too. Like, he does everything. He's always worked. In fact, that day that we shot that interview, he was having auditions for a show that he was doing in Australia, I think. So he was, like, auditioning dancers and things like that for an upcoming show. And after the auditions, we had that interview. So, and ever since then, he's always doing all sorts of different things. So I admire that about him. And it was just an awesome time to be able to sit there and just talk to him. And there was no ego. There was no looking at the clock like, okay, like, can we wrap this up? It was just a very casual conversation that we had. And in the end, we had a really, really good interview that I think people were able to enjoy.
That's wonderful. You are definitely very lucky, that's for sure. And he sounds so much fun. I'm curious what it was like for you interviewing Raven Simone, whom we love from Cosby Show and various others after that.
Yeah. With Raven, the Raven Simone interview has to be one of my favorite interviews. Not to take away from any of my other interviews, but I think that was the interview that I actually looked at and I was like, this is what Lounging with Tony is. It was the top of the second season, and we literally sat there and we just talked and we chatted, and she felt comfortable with me. I felt comfortable with her, and you know, even in the interview, there was a part where it was like, Tony, I can't do an interview with you because you just, and having her say that, it was like she was comfortable enough just to be herself. And allowed her to be that way. And it felt really good to just have that opportunity and to look at her and think like little Olivia that I used to watch on the Cosby Show. And now here we are across from each other just chatting as if, you know, we were two very old friends. By the time we did the interview, I think I had known Raven for maybe about a month or so. And it wasn't until after that month that we had known each other that I had asked her if she would do the show. And she gladly accepted and was, you know, had no issues or problem doing it. And to this day, I always still thank her. But it was just nice. It was nice to see that side of Raven, because she really is just, you know, a very down-to-earth girl who has maintained in this industry for so long and who doesn't have this big ego or doesn't, you know, have like an entourage of people or anything like that. Like, she's just a very chill girl. So it was nice to have that chance and opportunity to interview her and for the interview to go over so well with so many people.
And call herself Janet Jackson.
That intro is still my favorite. So, because I always, you know, introduce them and she's like Janet Jackson. And that's one of the things that always sticks out. And also at the end, when she changed the name of the show, she's like Hanging Tough with Susan Sarandon. And I'm like, I'm like, what? You're just gonna change the name of the show? What is going on? But that's just the playfulness of her, and that's what I think. That's why we get along, because we're both just kind of playful and fun like that. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, that was so much fun. I loved that interview, and that's wonderful to hear that she was just that down to earth and fun and easygoing. You know, I'm curious how you get. You know, whomever you interview. Of course, you've interviewed Days alums, but like, how do you go about getting your guests on your show?
Sabina, he's not going to tell his secrets.
Well, I mean,
there's no secret.
It's very hard sometimes to land guests.
Right.
I normally will, you know, take a chance and email managers, publicists, you know, in hopes of getting a certain guest. And sometimes oftentimes it's a no. But at least I'm thinking like I tried. And there are other times where, you know, I have friends of friends who, like, for instance, Wayne, who I had met maybe once before, he was friends with a friend of mine, Jay Rodriguez, and Jay and I were talking. He was like, you should get Wayne on your show. And I was like, I would love to have Wayne on my show. So Jay put in the call to Wayne and got me in touch with Wayne again and worked that out for me. Raven, I met through mutual friends, and shortly after asked her, and she, you know, thankfully did it. Casey Diedrich, I had already known from just being on the set of Days of Our Lives and doing a lot of stuff that I do with Days, and he was more than happy to do it. So sometimes it's either a friend of a friend or sometimes that one manager or one publicist will say, sure, you know, we'll do it. Let's work out a date and things like that. So it's kind of teetering between those two on how I get my guests. So I always just cross my fingers when I send an email and just say, please let this be a yes.
Yes. And then you got to put it out of your head, because if you do that, if you wait for an answer, there's so many times you don't even get an answer back. So if you get a yes or a no, I mean, just be grateful you got that, even if it's a no.
Exactly.
At least somebody paid attention to your email and took the time to say no.
It's very true. And you know what? I'm thankful for any reply, even when it's a no. I'm just very happy, like, thank you so much for replying, you know, and not just have it lingering out there. You know, thank you for taking the time to read the email and either put me in touch with the right person, or just say, you know what, it's not a good time right now. I, even though it's a no, and some of my friends go, you know, are you okay, like, you know, I know you really wanted that person. And I replied like with, you know, it's fine. At least they replied. So at least now, you know, they've taken a look at it. And maybe later along down the line, maybe it will be a yes. But, you know, you never know until you try. That's what my mom always told me. You never know until you try. So I will boldly send out those emails and boldly wait for a reply. That's usually a no, but I will take that no, and I will see it as an accomplishment more than anything.
You're so right. You are so right. I've been doing this, well, I co-hosted another show for probably 9 months and then started my own shows. So a couple years now that I've been doing this, and, you know, if I've sent out 1,000 emails, I mean, that's probably putting it mildly. If I got back 10% answer of a yes or a no or a maybe or later, that's saying a lot, too. So,
yeah.
You know, that's why you cherish the answers you get, no matter what they are. They're not lingering out in outer space somewhere. So that's why I always wonder what happened to them. So now, with your interviews, you don't have an actual studio, right? You go to the different places, the different locations and meet up, or how does that work?
No. And not having a studio is done on purpose. I want each episode to be catered towards that guest so that they feel comfortable, so that when we watch the episode is specifically for them. My interview with Casey Diedrich, you know, we filmed in a skateboard park, and that was relatable to him and something that he enjoyed doing that maybe many people didn't know that he enjoyed doing. And then the fun part of him trying to teach me how to skateboard, which, for the record, I still don't know how to skateboard because the concept of this 6'2", 200-and-some-pound guy on this, like, little tiny board has still not sit well with me. But I did attempt. But, you know, looking at each individual, you know, show, it's catered towards that person so that way you feel like you are going into their world. Rather than coming into mine, I'm going to theirs and, you know, for that interview, experiencing them. So that way the audience kind of gets that feeling too. I didn't want a set because I didn't want, you know, people to feel uncomfortable or feel like they couldn't be themselves. I'd rather get them in an environment where they feel like they could be themselves. So we always find a location or something that is suited for them, so that way they could feel comfortable doing the interview and just letting their guard down and having a good time.
I love how
that
you
makes
do
sense.
That. And that, does. And it makes us as the viewer, you know, really delve in and enjoy, you know, seeing them in their element as well. So that brings it, you know, out to us as well. I'm curious, because we all know you've been a day's extra. I've of course, spotted you many times, and I will let you know when I see you, which is kind of recent as well. I'm curious how you became a day's extra and how long you've been, you know, doing that.
I've been a background actor on days for 4 years now, and Martha Madison, who we all know as Belle on Days of Our Lives, when I moved here, before I moved here, I met her through the Taylor's Youth Association Days and Tonight charity events in Greenville. And so when I moved here, we would hang out and meet up, and I mentioned something about that background work one day, and she said, "Why have you not done background work on Dave?" By this time, she was off the show, but she still had friends that were associated with the show, and so I was like, I would love to. I haven't found the right person. So I emailed my photo and a resume to a friend of hers, Tariq, who then passed it on to the Extras casting director. And thankfully, since then, I've been used pretty regularly. I would say like once a month I'm usually on set to do background work and usually featured in the Brady Pub having a good old non-alcoholic beer or in the Horton Town Square. Those are the two places where I'm usually spotted in. So it's been about 4 years now, and that's how it happened. And in fact, I'm going there tomorrow. So I'm excited about that.
Awesome. That sounds like so much fun. I would love to be, an extra somewhere, because they do a lot of filming down here in Atlanta, too, and I'd love to do extra work, but I don't even know how to even get started with that. But I was wondering if you happened to be a fan of Days before becoming a background actor, and if so, what has that opportunity meant to you in your acting career?
I was a huge fan of Days before doing background work on Days, and it was all by accident. I was one of those people that did not understand why anyone watched soap operas. I was like, that's just too much drama. I'm sure they draw it out. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand. Well, one day I was with a family friend and helping her move, and she was a fan of Days of Our Lives. And so in the midst of us getting things moved from one house to another, we had lunch, and she was like, I have to watch Days of Our Lives. And I was like, ugh, okay. So I watched one episode, and I remember the last scene that I saw was Hope and Franco in an elevator, and the elevator door closed, and something was about to happen. And I was like, oh. And I was like, ooh, okay, I'll just watch tomorrow to see what's going to happen. Well, then here it is tomorrow, and, you know, they pick up where they left off, but now Marlena is in a cage in Paris, and Stefano is, like, keeping her captured, and there's, like, this masquerade ball going. So now I'm on the phone with the family friend going, okay, who's that? Why is she locked in a cage? Why does that guy, is he, like, infatuated with her? Does he look? And then it went on from there. So that was during the summer. And then school started, and I learned how to program the VCR so that I could take Days of Our Lives. And I was hooked from that day forward. And I thought that, you know, a few months later, like, I was the person who never in a million years would have thought that I would be watching a soap opera. And Days is the only soap that I watch. And then I moved to LA, and I remember my first day on set as a background actor, I just felt like it was an incredible moment, because here I am now on my favorite show, and I'm standing and seeing the Brady Pub. I'm seeing the Damara Mansion. You know, I'm seeing the different sets. And by then I had I was familiar with some of the actors because of the fan events that I had gone to. And it was just an amazing moment for me. And it made me feel like I was one step closer to getting my dream role on Days, which is Stefano's son. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But my dream role has always been to play Stefano's son. How they would work that out, I'm not sure. But that's the role that I want to play. It's kind of, now I'm thinking like, oh, it would be nice to play Maxine's son, or if they age little Theo at some point in time, I could play that role.
Right.
But if they ever came to me and said, Stefano needs a new son, I would be the first to go, please pick me, because I would love to play Estera.
That's awesome.
Well, you know, they sore ass the kids all the time, so.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be awesome. Well, I tell you, you're definitely very fortunate and blessed, because that would also be a dream just to even see the sets. I know, I know you were probably just in La La Land going, wow, and you probably had to pinch yourself, I'm sure.
Yeah, I was it was that moment of like, wow, like, it was a lot, because, you know, I'm living in L.A. now, which was, you know, always an ultimate dream of mine to live in L.A. and pursue acting, because I knew at a very young age that that's what I wanted to do. And then now here I am standing on my favorite show that I've been watching for years, like since I was 13, 14, and I'm simply in the background. And that, to me, was just amazing. So, and I just love... I love going to set and being in the background, because the people on set are really, really nice. Like the crew and the cast and everyone seemed to have a very genuine family-like type of vibe. And it's nice to go there and, you know, and just, you know, be on set and, you know, see, you know, what's happening and see the different sets and be on it and then spot myself later on. So it's been even 4 years later, it's still a great moment.
Oh, that is fantastic. I love hearing that, your stories.
Yeah.
I know you have also been emceeing / hosting the day's charity events for a little while. I'm not sure how long exactly. How did you first get involved with that particular event group and meet the organizers of that event?
Well, it started out with the event in Greenville, South Carolina, that my mom and I used to attend. I had been going to that event for a number of years, and right before I moved to L.A., that was going to be my last event. And so everyone, by this time, you know, when you go to fan events, everyone becomes very close to one another. And, you know, so it was kind of like, oh, you know, this kind of sucks. It's going to be my last event, you know, because I probably wouldn't fly back out, you know, for the event just because of cost and everything. And then talking to the organizers, I thought, well, do you guys need a host, you know, to actually host the event and do, like, the question and answer and stuff? And they were like, yeah, you know, we would definitely be interested in that. So then I started hosting that event. And then once that event ended, Stacy, who is the founder of the Day's Charity event, now Dual Coast event, she used to attend the Greenville events before she started her own, and I approached her about, you know, being a host for her because I had done a couple of her events here in L.A., but Dual Coast, which used to be Day's Charity event, they do events all across the country, Boston, and I think they did one in Dallas. We just recently did a cruise to Cozumel, Mexico. So they do them all over and for different charities. And she was like, I would be happy to bring you on as a host. So I continued my day's charity events hosting with Stacy and Dual Coast events. Now I've been doing that for, including Days and Tonight, for about 3 years now, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I didn't realize
yeah,
that when you started.
Yeah, it started shortly after, like a year after I had moved to L.A., I came back and hosted the first event. And I tell you, hosting an event is nerve-wracking, even still today. Like right before I go out and begin the Q&A or anything, I am extremely nervous. But it's so much fun because the fans enjoy the event. The fans, you know, have some of the zaniest of questions, and they just enjoy, you know, being there and being around their favorite day star. So that energy is fun. It's fun to be around.
Yeah, it definitely is. I've enjoyed it for sure.
I've never been to one,
yeah.
And that's not fair. So.
Well, you will have to come to one. I would highly recommend it.
Uh-huh. I'd love. But I can't just hop on a plane and go, you know, to California. I mean, I've seen the Days of Days event Day of Days event on YouTube and that, and it's like, oh my God, they are having so much fun, and all of the actors up there singing, and ones that you don't realize that they even sing are up there doing it, and it just looks like a total blast, and I'd love to someday get to one.
Oh yeah, you know what I say. Hop on that plane and just do it. Don't let anything hold you back.
No,
how
about money?
Yeah, that's the one
I'm
going right
to have
there.
To put Sabina on a corner somewhere, and then I'll get there.
Hey, you and me both need to get on that corner because I still haven't been a Day of Days, and I want to go. I mean, the event is free, but getting there is not.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
They're actually doing Day of Days this weekend, this Saturday, the 9th, is Day of Days at Universal City Walk. And
yeah,
I know they didn't do it last year, but they're doing it this year. And I've actually never been to Day of Days because I'm usually working. But my friends have told me it is the most exciting, craziest, busiest, energetic event ever. Because, I mean, fans from everywhere come in drones to, like, to mm-hmm. this event. And so it's a fun event for people to go to.
Yeah, you can tell that just from watching it on YouTube, how crazy and insane it is, you know, but crazy and fun. You know, that's it.
Yeah.
Well, someday, and then I'll come and I'll look for you and we'll go together.
Yeah. Hey, bring me along, chick.
She's there quite often.
only because it's the Atlanta one. I've only got to go out to LA that one time just by chance. But mostly it's because they actually are coming here, which I am so glad and grateful for. I'm looking forward to next April, too.
And I will be there, too. I'll be hosting that event in April.
Yay.
I believe it's April 24th, I think. 26th.
26th, I believe,
Yeah. So if there are any Days fans out there, you guys go to dualcoastevents.com and get your tickets and come hang out with us. It's a fun time.
Mm-hmm. Are they available now?
Oh, yeah. They are definitely available now. And tickets go kind of quick, so because they only sell a limited amount.
Don't say that,
because
April's my birthday month, and I'm thinking I can maybe get somebody to buy me a ticket for my birthday, but if they're going
fast,
I don't know.
Huh? I say you should start campaigning now for it.
I think so, too.
So that way in April in Atlanta, you can come and hang with us, and we'll have a glass of sweet tea, because that's usually the first thing I get when I get back to the south.
I bet you missed that.
I'm sorry. I will hang with you, but I can't do the sweet tea. It's just too sweet for me. I tried one from McDonald's once, and I thought, oh, my God, where is the tea? This tastes like all sugar. I don't know how people drink that.
That is the best. It's the best thing ever. The sweeter the better.
I just can't do it. I will do, you know, Diet Pepsi, wild cherry Diet Pepsi is my thing. So I have a case of that for me, and I'll be happy. Now, I wanted to ask you, too, about your show. You call it a web series. Why is that?
Because it appears on YouTube. That's where I usually post all of the videos. Sometimes with some of the length of the interviews, you would think it was a full-fledged like TV show. But because it doesn't appear on actual television, it just appears via the internet. We call it a web show. So hopefully one day it will be on TV. But I don't know. We will see. That's my whole idea and plan was that Lounging with Tony would be like a web show on a network's website, and I would be like the go-to host when a new TV show is coming out. And you want to get to know the actors of that show and kind of have someone take you behind the scenes and kind of show the set and, you know, get you kind of excited, you know, for this show. I would, you know, Lounging with Tony would be that show featured on the network's website, because we live
that would
in
be
such
perfect.
A
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I thought of that just because we're in the way we are now, we're in a I-need-to-know-now type of generation where, you know, everyone has a smartphone and internet and tablets and things like that, where when you're, you know, walking down the street and you see a billboard of a new show, the first thing everyone does is go to the internet to find out everything they can about the show. Whereas, you know, back when I was growing up, that sounds so weird for me to say back when I was growing up. But, you know, when I was growing up, you know, you saw commercials for new shows and things like that, but, you know, you didn't know anything about the show, you know, until it came on. Like, of course, we had newspapers and magazines and things like that. But now everyone is in a I want to know now, you know, type of phase. So smartphones and the internet is such a quick way. And now if you, you know, want to know more about a new show, you know, there could be that show like Lounging with Tony that could kind of, you know, have you get to know the actors or get to know the people behind the series or take you on a tour behind the set and things like that. So so hopefully one day, if someone's listening, they will say, that is a great idea. I'm going to pick up that fella and put him on our network's website. So we'll see.
I vote for that. So what we should do after this podcast, over the interview's over or chat, take the podcast and start sending it out.
Yes.
To different networks.
I will be very happy and excited about that, and it gets my vote as well.
Well, I would say that you are on the road to doing that because you were selected for the 2013 LA Web Series Festival, and what an awesome nod to what you love to do. What were your thoughts when you found out?
I was very excited. It's that moment where, you know, you feel like, okay, I am doing something right, you know. Lounging with Tony, I never could have imagined what it would have grown into. Looking at the very first episode, which was with Martha, I looked at it and I looked at how Martha and I interacted with each other, and I thought to myself, you know, there could be something here. And then to have the LA Web Fest recognize that, yes, you know, there is something there, that was quite an honor. And then to have it screening during over the weekend for, you know, many other people to see. And, I mean, this Web Fest, there were entries from across the world. And for Lounging with Tony to be one of the ones selected to screen was truly amazing and truly an honor. And from that, I won two awards, Best Host and Best Producer for Lounging with Tony. Yes. So even
congratulations.
That, you know,
that is so
thank
awesome.
You. Even that boggled my mind. It's kind of like, yay, you know, someone else likes me too besides my mama. So,
well, who was that that
so
said
was,
that?
It
was
great.
It Sally Field that said, you like me, you really like me when she
yes,
accepted.
You like me, you really like me. that's definitely how I felt. You know, it was great to be selected, and then it was amazing to sit and have people screen the two of the episodes of Lounging with Tony. And then to win, you know, Best Host and Best Producing, that was just kind of the icing on the cake. So it was a great achievement for Lounging with Tony. For
definitely
an
pat
idea
yourself
that,
on the back with that one.
I thank
awesome.
You. I do. Yeah, and it's weird because, you know, going back 3 years ago, I remember I was coming up with different ideas for web shows, and Lounging with Tony was one of them, and I was talking to a coworker of mine, and I was like, I think I want to do the show. And she was like, yeah, it sounds good. Like, I like the title, Lounging with Tony. She was like, yeah, go for it. And, you know, I wasn't quite sure if what it could be. I just knew I wanted to do it. And I grabbed a camera guy. I asked Martha. I was like, hey, I'm going to start doing this web show. Would you be a guest on it? We can film it at Henry's Hat, which was a restaurant that she had at the time. We'll feature Henry's Hat. We'll just talk about, you know, what you've been doing since Dave. And after that first episode, you know, she enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. A lot of, you know, of her fans enjoyed it. And it was just a moment where I was like, okay, I think I need to continue on with this. And now realizing from that episode to now just how much it's grown, it still amazes me sometimes how that little idea on my little notepad has turned into, you know, a great show. And it's always fun to do and always great to interview these people and get to know these people and the people that I've interviewed. It's just all been amazing.
Well, there's another thing that you do that I find hysterically funny, and that's Man on the Street. So I'm going to turn it around, and I'm going to ask you some of the questions that you ask some of the people on the street.
Oh, goodness. Okay. I think I'm ready for this.
Oh.
I didn't know the table were going to turn on me. This is the first interview that I've had. So it's really interesting and weird to be on the other side because I'm usually the one asking the questions. So this is fun. Okay. I think I'm ready.
So the very first one is, what song are you embarrassed to admit you like? And I heard you sing during that episode, too. So maybe I should have you sing your answer.
Right. I will say there are a couple of songs that I have to say I'm embarrassed to admit that I enjoy. A lot of songs by Miley Cyrus I actually enjoy. The current one, Wrecking Ball.
I love that song.
I do too. And it's like Miley Cyrus. It's the girl who's trying to twerk. Like, you're not supposed to like her stuff. But I really have liked some of her stuff. I've liked Wrecking Ball. There was a song that she came out with a long time ago called The Climb that I like. So I'm embarrassed to say that I do like a lot of her stuff. I also really enjoyed Call Me Maybe by Carly Rae Jepsen. I find myself, when it came on the radio, I would crank the song up just a little bit and kind of, you know, bob and sing to the song. So, yeah, I think we all did,
but we just wouldn't say it, so.
Right, yeah.
Okay, the next one will be, if you were a snack food, what would you be and what would you call it?
Oh, my goodness, this question. snack food. Now I know what these people felt like when they were.
Exactly.
I would be a chip, but I would want it to. I think I would be a different flavors. A lot of the flavors probably already exist, but they would be foods that I like to eat, like chicken tenders. I love chicken tenders. So if there could be a chicken tender chip, I would like that. Kind of mixed in with barbecue sauce. It sounds gross right now, but I bet it would be such a flavorful. Or there could be one where it's chicken tenders with honey mustard, and it could be like the Tonito.
There you go.
Yeah, I like that.
Tonito.
Yeah, the Tonito.
I like that honey mustard sauce, and I like chicken, so that might work well together.
See? And just think, like, you could have the taste, because when I eat, I like a different variety, and sometimes I can't decide on what I want to eat at that moment. So you're kind of killing two birds with one stone. You can have the taste of chicken tenders with honey mustard, but you may want chips too. Combine it all in one, and there you have it. Problem solved.
And a few extra calories.
Yes. But who cares about those? We don't want to count those too often.
Okay, the next question is, what is your hidden talent?
Hidden talent. You know, I've been told a few times that I have a great singing voice. And I think that might be a hidden talent that many people may not know about. I actually started off wanting to be a singer when I was younger. But at the time, my fifth grade teacher, who was very honest with me, said that I should stick to acting. So I kind of abandoned that, but, you know, every now and then I'll catch myself, you know, just kind of singing and, you know, humming or something to myself, and someone will say, "Oh wow, you have a great voice," and I'm like, "Really?" Because I've been told that I'm kind of awful, but I guess, you know, I guess singing would be a hidden talent. Before that, it was actually dancing, and I didn't discover that till I was a junior in high school that I could dance. So Yeah, I guess it would be those two. There's nothing weird. Like, I can't touch the tip of my nose with my tongue. I can't do that.
My
but I can curl it up.
Can.
Wow.
It's funny you say that because she really can. Talk about keeping the grandkids busy, trying to all stick our tongues up by our nose was funny. Yeah, that was a good one.
Right.
None of us could do it. Now, I have a question from me. If you could spend the day with anyone, alive or dead, who would it be and why?
Beyonce.
There
hands
you go.
Down.
Well, I already knew the answer to that.
And you don't even have to tell us why. You know, that's easy.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because when she was in Destiny's Child, I didn't pay attention to her, but I paid attention to her once her solo stuff came out. And I think just seeing someone who's, like, around my age just be very smart about her career and the things that she wants to do and even taking control of what she does, and also just, you know, her music is great. I would love to just sit and chat with Beyonce. I think it would be a very good, interesting, cool, casual conversation. So Beyonce would
Most
be my
definitely.
Number one pick.
Most definitely. Oh my gosh, I would give anything to see you guys talking together. I know that would be amazing for everybody.
Yes, and I'm sure people would love to. I would love to see that. So hopefully one day, one day.
Yeah. Well, it'll be lounging with Tony from heaven, and we'll all be there to watch.
Yes. We are coming to you from, Tony is on cloud 9 right now because he has Beyonce here.
Get your tickets now.
Now, exactly.
Well, you've also been on the red carpet retreat behind the scenes interviewing people.
Yes.
Oh, my God, I can't even imagine doing that. And I absolutely love that you got to talk to Finola Hughes from General Hospital. I love her. What was it like speaking with her? I mean, are you a major fan? Did you know her before?
I knew of her, and I knew that she was very legendary, another legend in the soap world. And my mom was a big fan, and my godmother was a big fan of General Hospital. And at that time, they were celebrating their 50th year on General Hospital. And just to be able to speak to her just for that couple of minutes, and to find out that, you know, she was making her directorial debut.
Movie,
It was amazing. And she's very nice, and she was, it was just easy to talk to her. A little secret, though, which no one saw, I actually totally butchered her name. And I felt so bad because I said it the first time, and then she's like, oh no! And I was like, oh my gosh! I was like, oh no! Here's that moment where I can tell people secretly I totally butchered her name, but she was very nice about it, and she kept, you know, we kept going. I said it again correctly, and then we kept going, and in my mind I was thinking, oh my gosh, she probably thinks like, who is this kid with this microphone who has no idea who I am? Yeah. So that was a little bit of an embarrassing moment for me, but she was great. She was great to talk to, and very, very easy to talk to. A lot of the celebrities I get to interview are very easy to talk to. So that was a nice moment to have her there at that gifting suite, which that was the first one I had ever done. So it was fun.
Well, it was funny to see you in that necklace because it didn't even fit your neck. I mean, that was hysterical.
it didn't, but, you know, it's so interesting going to those because, I mean, there's all this stuff that people have and they want you to take and promote and things like that. And Amy, who was the jewelry maker of that, she was like, do we want to do a shot with you trying it on? And I was like, sure. And it, of course it doesn't fit because here I am, a guy with a 16 and a half inch neck, trying to put on like, but it was heavy though. It was so heavy, but it was nice though. It was fun. That was a fun moment too.
Now, what accessory won't you leave home without?
Chapstick.
Chapstick.
Oh.
This seems to be a favorite of a lot of people. We got to have the soft
yes.
lip. You never know who you're going to kiss.
Yeah, well, it's what. It's not even the kissing aspect. It's the I hate for my lips to feel dry,
yeah.
and when they get too dry, they feel like they're going to crack, and it's just
mm-hmm.
it's not a good feeling at
it's
all.
It's not a good look either.
No, not at all. So yeah, I always have to have chapstick. Chapstick and gum are the two things that I never leave home.
Especially when you talk
yes.
to a lot of people, you know, in person, you've got to do it. Like right now, my breath could smell like garlic and who knows what else, and you wouldn't even know. I could be sitting here in my PJs. You just never know.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the beauty of doing a radio interview is that you could be however you are and no one will know, which is good. Yeah, yeah.
Those are my perks.
Right. This whole entire time, I've been laying in my bed in my room talking on my cell phone. So I'm pretty relaxed.
Now, you wouldn't be able to do your interviews that way. Well, there may be some people that would let you, but you just don't do it normally.
Right.
No, I also watched you on the RuPaul Drag Race premiere interviewing. So my
yeah.
question is, if you were a drag queen, what would your name be and your talent? I guess probably the singing and dancing part, right?
Yes. So I would definitely dance. If I were a drag queen, what would my drag name be? It would have to be a good one. Normally,
isn't it,
I think
don't
with
they figure out their names a lot of times with the first street they lived on and something else
uh-huh.
that I can't remember what it is?
I think it's the street
first
and
pet.
First pet. So the first street that I remember living on was Satterley, and my first pet name was Poochie. So I guess my drag name would be Satterley Street Poochie or Satterley Poochie.
I was going to say, you'd probably leave the street off.
Yeah. So that would be my drag name, Satterley Poochie.
Yes. Well, mine would be Kildare Bootsy, so.
But that is a good one. I like that one.
Or I could turn it around and do Bootsy Kildare, so either way, that would be good.
Yeah. Like Poochie Satterley. Satterley
yep.
Poochie. Yeah, no matter how you put it, it's just all wrong.
Go on, Sabina. What's yours?
Yeah, that's not easy because I can't remember. Sandy Bay Court is like the one I remember, the first one. So, and then I guess my first pet was my dog, Shecky. So, Sandy Bay Shecky, that doesn't
You got some work to do on that one.
Yeah, I need to figure out some other names.
Well, I'm going to ask you one last question before we go ahead and take this call that's been holding to talk to you. What
okay.
is the one piece of advice you would give another host or a person wanting to become a host?
The main thing I would say is be yourself. Hosting is something where you can't mimic someone else. There's
right.
only one Ryan Seacrest. There's only one Mario Lopez. There's only one Oprah. And those people are successful because they are simply themselves. So whatever your character trait is, however you are, just naturally, do that and just be yourself with it. I think for me, I'm just naturally a people person.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something that separates me from you know, other hosts along with my personality. So just simply be yourself, and that will get you far. So
great piece
advice.
Of advice, and I'm thankful that I do follow that advice already. I am myself when I do these interviews. I don't try to be anybody else. And just, you know, try to have fun with it. That's
exactly.
That's the best part. Because if it's not fun, then it's work. Who wants to work?
Exactly.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and take this call. And I do believe it's Alley Cat. And unfortunately, I do not know her real first name. So say hello,
okay.
Alley Cat.
Hello. How are you doing?
Hi, Alicia.
Hey, Tony.
How are
you?
Doing?
You know
I'm
what?
Doing good.
I'm good.
Good.
Yeah.
I know Alicia. Alicia and I met at one of the Days events. It was her first event, and
right.
She was super nervous. She didn't know what was happening, what was going on, and I told her everything, and she has been one of the biggest supporters that I have, along with Sabina. So one of the people that definitely look out for me on Days, who retweet,
right.
Who watch everything. So thank
is
you
that
guys.
Is called stalking?
You guys are great.
You're welcome.
Not
you
at
know
all.
What?
It's called supporting. Now stalking is when they're able to tweet me and say, I see that you are in line at Wendy's. That is stalking.
I know, right?
And that's when I'll get a little worried. But when I see a retweet of like, hey, make sure you check out what's happening with Tony, it's cool. You know, that's fine.
You know what? It's just appreciation. You know, like you said, we met at the Days and Tonight's charity event in Greenville. Well, actually, before
mm-hmm.
that, I think I had, like, we befriended on Facebook. And like
mm-hmm.
I said, I was so nervous, and it was like my first charity event. And I asked, hey, the question that all ladies probably do, what do you wear? That was my concern.
Yeah.
What do you wear
and
to these type of events? Because I had never been before. He was like, you know what, just do casual and be yourself. It's just going to be one big party. And so I was like, cool, thank you. And I remember just the first time seeing him was in the lobby.
When she first got there.
And his mom. Yeah, and so, you know, we just all kind of clicked. We had a great time. And kind of just been, you know, being one of his supporters from then on, you know.
Yeah.
And plus, it doesn't hurt that we're from the South.
Right.
So, you know,
both from the South.
It's going to always give that Southern love out to him. So, I mean, you know, he's a great guy. He's a wonderful host. You know, had the pleasure of, you know, just hanging out with him at these Days charity events. Recently, we did the cruise together in September.
Yes.
And,
which was a lot of fun.
Oh, so much fun. So if you all ever want to, you know, just come and see him do his thing as a host, you know, you're going to be in for a treat because he is wonderful at being a host. And I think I kind of, he's kind of more entertaining, maybe even the actors that are coming in truly.
Yeah.
I mean, truly, I'm not just saying that, but, and I tell them that, and I was like, you know, hey, you're good at what you do. So multiple props to him, you know. So just wishing him a lot of success with everything that he's doing.
Thank you. I appreciate that so much. And
you're
even
welcome.
when I go to the charity event, you know, I'm there just to be a host and just make sure everyone's having a good time and everything like that. And a lot of times the fans make me feel like I'm one of the stars too. So my mom gets a kick out of it. She loves coming to the events with me and seeing, you know, how everyone just, you know, has a good time with me. Everyone enjoys seeing me there. And she's like, she always... when we go back to our room, she goes, they treat you like one of the celebrities. I was like, oh, I know. It's so weird because I'm just there just to, you know, do my job and just make sure everyone's having a good time. So.
Right. And like to me, you are, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're out there, you're following your dreams, you're pursuing them, and that's inspiring.
Thank you.
You know, you may not know that, but that's inspiring to so many people. So just want to tell you, continue to do it. And we got to get you that that speaking role on that age, you know.
I know, right?
It could happen. Hey, look at Lexi. It could happen.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
One day, one day.
Soap opera land, right? So, you know, I say anything goes in soap opera land. So
that's very true.
Possible. So, you know, just want to say continued success. Everything that you're doing, and hopefully, you know, we'll get to see each other at another charity event. Hopefully, Atlanta.
Yes, yes. You better be coming to Atlanta.
Yeah, you better. See, I'm better. Yeah. I'm trying to spread my wings, you know, so hopefully I will be there.
Yes. Not hopefully, you're going to be there. Go ahead and claim it now. That's what my mom says.
I'm claiming.
Whatever
okay,
you
I'm
want, you claim it.
I'm claiming it. I will be there. Claim it.
There you go. Good.
All right.
Oh.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, Alicia.
You're
nice to put a voice with the face, so or with the Twitter face.
Oh, yeah. Now have a good one, okay?
You
all
too.
Right. Thank
bye,
you, Alicia.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Yeah, a little known
well, Tony,
fact,
that
sure.
was a lot of fun.
Huh?
I said that was a lot of fun. Sabina, what did you say?
Oh, yeah.
I was saying a little known fact. I'm not sure if Tony knows this or not, but Allie and I are birthday twins. Our birthday's the same day and month.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it's the same as Beyonce, by the way.
Oh, September 4th.
Yep.
No, wait, not wait.
Now
not
he'll, he'll never forget
no,
that.
September 1st.
Yeah,
September
he will
1st.
Never forget our birthday now. Yep, exactly.
Yeah, never. Nope. Anyone that celebrates a birthday with Beyonce is amazing.
Aw, thanks.
When is your birthday, Tony?
My birthday is January 3rd, which is an interesting date because it comes after Christmas, it comes after New Year's, and by the 3rd, everyone's tired and broke, and
yeah.
I get all of my birthday gifts and my Christmas gifts. So what I've started doing now is extending my birthday to the entire month of January.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
I love that.
That way there are no excuses.
Yeah.
If you didn't catch me on the 3rd, you can now catch me sometime throughout the month.
Right. It does blow. I mean, just think about the people that actually have their birthdays on Christmas Day or just right after the 26th of December. I mean,
yeah.
I know so many friends that have gotten one gift and they say, here, this is for Christmas and this is for your birthday. Well, gosh, you know. That's not fun, especially when you're a child. When you're an adult, you kind of understand more. But still, that seems like a ripoff.
I'm always like, it's not fair because you have two different days in the year. I want to still have my 2 days.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, definitely. There's a little known fact. I was born on Easter, but my birthday has never been on Easter again.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yep, I was born on April 17th, and it's been on Good Friday. It's been on whatever that is, Thursday. What is it, Passover Thursday or something? I don't know, whatever it is. You know, different dates, Palm Sunday, never on Easter again. So I wonder if that'll happen before I croak. Because I don't remember that.
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be cool. But that's what happens when Easter is all over the place, you know, being on so many different days. I don't understand why they have to change it around all the time.
Right. Just keep it consistent. That way we always know when it's coming.
Right, exactly.
Like Christmas. Christmas never changes. Christmas is always December 25th.
That's right. That's right. And my husband's birthday falls on Thanksgiving a lot, which is another pain in the butt because you're getting ready for the holiday, and then it's his birthday, and then before you know it, it's Christmas, and when you've been married to somebody for 25 years, you kind of, you know, like, well, what the heck do I buy him now? And then you got to do it twice in a row.
Right.
That kind of blows. But, yeah, that's life. So, anyway, I want to say thank you so much for joining us today. It was a blast. Sabina, is there somebody else that wants to talk?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. There's somebody else that wants to talk to you, you Mr. Popular. There we go. Area code 801. You're live on the air.
Hello, Tony.
Hello, hello.
Hello, this is Rebecca from Utah.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hello.
How are
it's
you?
So good to talk to you. I'm so good.
Good to talk to you, too.
I'm so glad I got through.
Yay. Oh, my God. You guys make me feel very, very special. Like I'm this very extra special guest that everyone's trying to talk to. I feel happy. My mom would be proud.
Oh, yes, she would, and she should be.
She is. She's
awesome.
Her and my dad and my whole family, they're very proud of my accomplishment. I always
so
say I need more. I need to do more.
You do.
Yes, so, but yeah,
so
it's always
good. I'm glad I got through to say hi to you.
Oh, I'm glad you did, too. Hi.
Yes. Hello. And when you guys were talking about the Day of Days earlier, I have actually been to three of those.
Oh.
Yes.
Now
I
we're
flew
all
out
jealous.
From Utah. Yes. I fly out from Utah and spend all day Saturday and usually fly home Sunday. And then last April, I went to Atlanta where I met Tony for the first time.
Yes.
And me. And... Oh, yes. Sabina.
Sabina. You met Sabina?
Yes. And I went to Boston in August and met my friend Sean.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. So I'm glad I actually got to meet Tony, and I'm glad I get to talk to him now.
Yeah. You know, it's always fun to go to the charity event and meet everyone, because leading up to the charity event, like, people start tweeting, IMing, you know, Facebooking each other, and then it's always fun to get there and go, that's you, it's you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's always fun.
Right. And I don't know if you guys knew, but you were talking about the day's charity events, that's now Dual Coast Events.
Mm-hmm.
The little picture on their Facebook with the words, thank you, Day's Charity Events. I don't know if you guys knew that, but I made that picture, which was a bunch of sugar cookies that I cut out by hand.
Oh, my God.
That I sent to them. Yes. Yep. So profile picture was made by me. So
that is awesome. Is it weird, though, that I'm starting to wonder what happened to the cookies, though?
Because
I would have liked to have had the cookies.
I'm sorry. I'll have to make you some, Tony.
Yay, I love cookies. I'm from the South, so we like to eat. So as a lot of times I will ask people, they're like, oh, you know, why don't you come to this party? I'm like, sure. Is there food? Yep, I am there. So.
That's awesome. Good for you. Well, I like
but you know
treat.
What? You're going to have to make those cookies chicken flavor, you know, right?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
With some honey mustard, you know, icing on top of it. So
this has been an amazing radio show. You guys have done a great job with it.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. And it's so good to talk to you, Tony.
Oh,
I'm so
glad you called in and got a chance to chit-chat. Are you going to the Atlanta event?
I don't know. I haven't decided yet. I'm going out to visit a friend in North Carolina in April, so I highly doubt it.
You know what? I say you kill two birds with one stone. You see your friend in Atlanta that week. You guys drive down to Atlanta for the event, and then you fly back home. That way, You get a whole trip out of it.
There you go. I should do it.
There you
go.
Only
7 hours from her.
Well, see, not only am I a host, but I'm also a problem solver. So I have solved your problem.
Yeah,
of,
and now
of
you,
not
also
you should come
have to
the
be
event.
MapQuest. You have to be MapQuest for her too. So
right.
Tell her how to
now,
get there. What road to take?
Now that's where my help gets a little tricky because I still use the GPS. So
well, you know, since I live in Utah, it's kind of far from Atlanta, but I do spend a lot of money to go to those events. So
yeah, but it's such a fun time though. Those events are so fun. Like
amazingly fun. Yes.
Yeah, it's fun to see you guys. It's fun to see how excited you guys are about. Meeting the cast and stuff, and always you guys always make me feel good. My mom loves it. My mom loves, and it was before everyone knew that she was my mom. She loved the fact that everyone thought that I was her boyfriend, and so they would come up to her and they would go, oh, you know, so this is your boyfriend, and she would play along with it. She would be like, oh, yes. And I'm looking at her like, Mom. And she's like, shh. And I'm like, no. Because, you know, and I'm like, I can't with her. She loves that. That's what she loves.
Oh, that's adorable. Good for her. That's cute.
Well, you know, she looks awesome for her age then. Or she probably had you when she was like, what, 10, right? That's what I always say.
10 plus, maybe about 14.
Are you willing
14.
To tell us?
Yeah, I just turned because that was back in January, but I turned 30 this year. Yeah.
30? Oh, wow, you're young.
Yeah, so 30
yeah, but
years
you
of the big
zero
three.
On your age now, so now it's going to start flying by.
Right.
Oh boy, I will say I was a little nervous to turn 30 because 30 is a weird year. Like you feel like you're supposed to be in this certain place in your life at 30,
mm-hmm.
and
right.
a lot of my friends are either married, they have kids, or they're really really into their career and field. And uh-huh. me, I kind of felt like I'm nowhere near marriage and kids yet, but I'm sort of in my career, and I was just kind of like, oh, I'm 30. Like, according to the entertainment industry, I'm starting to get old. So,
oh, you're
so
not old.
Like, I don't think I'm old either, but, you know,
no.
But they look at you like, oh boy, you're 30. You have to go out for the daddy roles now. I can't.
Aww.
I can't play.
Well, I
have
that at 19.
So
now,
right.
I can't play the college student or the frat guy. Now it's like
right.
young dad, and I'm like, whoa, when did that title happen?
Oh, that is too awesome. So your birthday is the 3rd of January, right?
Yes.
Yeah, mine's the 3rd of September.
Oh.
Yeah.
Three
right
is a good
there
number.
With Sabina and Alicia.
Yeah,
on your birthday
and Beyonce.
Together.
And Beyonce.
Mm-hmm. And Beyonce,
everyone's
yes.
all together.
Uh-oh, her call dropped. Aw. Yeah.
Oh, did we lost Rebecca?
Yeah, her call dropped. Aww.
Well, Rebecca, if you're still listening,
Rebecca.
Thank you for calling in.
Yes, definitely. And Tony would love to have you back when you're winning your Oscar or your Emmy or, you know, one of those good things for your show, Lounging with Tony.
Of
we want
course.
To say
thank
we knew you when.
Right. Mm-hmm. You, and the people always say, oh, you're going to act so different. And I'm like, I probably will not. I have been the same Tony since I was in high school. Like people, a mature Tony, but people mm-hmm. are like, you're still like that Tony in high school. I'm like, yeah, there's really no reason for me to change. I kind of like myself. So
yeah. And we like you the way you are too, so don't change.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, thanks for spending so much time with us. I know we went over an hour, but it just flew by. And
I know.
Look, you got to relax on your bed doing this, so it couldn't have been too hard for you.
Nah, I think this has to be the easiest interview I've ever done.
Oh, thank you. That's a compliment.
No, no. It is. Yeah. But also, the pressure was off me because all I had to do was just call in, and it was all up to you guys. I'm used to that pressure of like, oh, my gosh, what questions am I going to ask? Do people want to know this? What do people want to know? This time I was just kind of like, hi, I'm here. Which is good.
Oh, you flipped it back on us now. Listen to this.
Is true, though. That is true. Before an interview, you think about all your questions. I know how much time I spend doing it before. And when people don't put out a lot on their bio, Tony, it's not that easy to come up with questions, Tony.
I'm a man of mystery. But
you definitely can't
you can
say
ask...
you're a man of few words, you know, because of what you do for a living. So.
Oh no, I have to be a man of many words sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I hate doing bios because I never know what to say. I'm just kind of like, this is me. Oh. Okay, but I never know what to say. I'm always interested in other people, but when the tables turn, I'm like, well, what do I say about myself? Now I know what other people feel like when I interview them. They're like, I don't know if I'd be a good interview. And I'm like, you'll be fine.
Well, you did great. And again, we thank you, and you're welcome back anytime.
Thank you, guys. Anytime. I will be more than happy to come back and chit-chat with you guys.
Thanks. Aww. And you can bring friends too if you want.
Yeah, of course. We'll have a big lounging with Tony party in my living room, and I'll put us on speaker, and we'll just have a good old time.
There you go.
That sounds like fun.
That works, and I hope to meet you next April. We'll see what I can do about that.
Yes, go ahead and put on your letter to Santa that you would like a ticket to the Dual Coast event in Atlanta and a plane ticket. And Sabina will meet you there.
Good. Yep. Good. That's perfect. And for our listeners, follow Tony on Twitter at Lounging with Tony, but leave that G off of there because he doesn't like it. And his his website, Lounging with Tony. And then also check out his videos that he has on his website and on YouTube, Lounging with Tony. He makes it really easy to find him. Do you have a Facebook page?
Lounging with Tony.
There you go.
Yep. Same thing.
And even on Instagram, Lounging with Tony. So there, you can Google Lounging with Tony
everywhere.
And I'll come up. Yeah.
All right, take care, Tony. Enjoy the rest of your night, and thank you again,
great
Sabina.
Talking with you.
Great talking to you guys too. Thank you
and
guys
so
much.
See you in April.
Yes, I will see you in April for sure.
All right.
Have a great day. Bye, you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that was fun. I think we could have probably talked for a very long time with him. He's so entertaining.
Yes.
He's definitely very funny and very interesting. And I love how people love him and want to call in and that everybody seems to meet at these days events. So I guess I should probably get my arse to one of them if I can one of these days.
Uh-huh. You should. And the April one is a perfect start.
I'm going to try. That's all I can say. You know, I wish I could say for sure, but the way things are these days, you just never know. But I also would like our listeners to join us again on Wednesday, November 6th. David, my other co-host, will be with me. And we will be interviewing actors Randall Oliver and Chris Severio. They have just made a new movie called The Rougarou People. And actually, it's called Rougarou, and it's a scary movie, let me tell you. You should look at the trailer. It's on the website on take2radio.com, and that's with the number two. and watch the video there for the trailer. It's definitely a scary movie, so I can't wait to talk to them about that. And then also on Sunday, November 10th, it's our one-year anniversary show, and I cannot even begin to believe that I've been doing this for a year. It flew by. Yeah. And we're going to have Jerry Verdurn. We're going to have Liz Kiefer. And we're going to have Wendy, and I'm not sure how to say her last name, so I apologize if I say it wrong, Midori or Midori. She's in charge of the Stars and Strikes for Cancer charity event that they have at the bowling alley once a year in New York. And all the stars from daytime go to these events, and they have raffles, and you can bowl with them, or you can sit on the sidelines and watch them bowl, and it's a lot of fun. And this year they raised $13,000 for the American Cancer Society. So we're going to have them on the show, and we do have others that may be calling in. I do have a definite yes from what David has told me. He won't tell me who the other people are because he wants to surprise me, but he's been working on others in the background and trying to get them to call in. So I know of four people so far. So it's Jerry Verdurn, Liz Kiefer, Wendy, and then this other person that's confirmed, and I don't know who it is. And that'll be Sunday, November 10th at 3 p.m. Eastern time. So if you're around, I hope you will listen in. And we do invite callers to call in, especially those that have gone to the event this year, to share, you know, their memories of it, to share their journeys if they've been through cancer and or if they're going through it. Also, if you just want to call and say hi to somebody, you know, we welcome that as well. Our phone number is 1-718-506-1540, and be sure to press the number 1. Otherwise, we don't know. We should pick up your call. And we have some others coming up, but we'll leave it at that for now. Those are the two next shows that we're going to have. And I want to thank you, Sabina, for joining me today.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Yes, it was.
And now I will forgive you for giving me somebody that I didn't think I was going to be able to come up with questions for.
You surprised yourself. Good.
Well, it helps that he's a good talker and very entertaining. You know, you get to work off a lot of that.
Yeah,
and,
that's true.
I will definitely be following his career now, just like you are and just like everybody else is. I'm just a little bit far behind, but you know what? Slow start and fast finish. So I'm there now. So thanks, everybody, again for joining us. Thanks to those who called in. Thank you, Tony, for joining us. And God bless everybody. Enjoy the rest of your night. And we'll see you again on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Follow us on Twitter at Take Two Radio. Follow Sabina and David at Take Two Radio Crew. Follow us on Blog Talk. They'll send you an email. And I think that's about it. Good night, everybody. Good night, Sabina. Bye-bye.
Bye.